It's the BBG, not the BBC.
You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
And a warm welcome to the programme. It's cleared up in the northwest of England. The weather has improved. So our moods have improved. We're in better form. In around about 10 minutes' time, I'll be joined live from New York City by Dr. Andy Kaufman. Now, Andy has a medical degree from the University of South Carolina. He's also got a degree in molecular biology from the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. He went on to study psychiatry at Duke University. He's become, well, very well known of late because he's challenging the global coronavirus narrative. Dr. Andy Kaufman doesn't believe the virus actually exists, and he's got a ready-made explanation as to why he doesn't think it exists and what's really happening. So he joins me in about 10 minutes' time, and we'll find out what he's got to say. In the second hour of the programme, I'll be joined by Mads Palsvig, live from Copenhagen. Good to have Mads back on the programme. Of course, a former investment banker, worked for Goldman Sachs, worked for everybody. And we'll talk about different aspects of the coronavirus lockdown with Mads. It is Wednesday. Well, Wednesday. Oh, Jesus. It's Wednesday's programme. That's the one. Yes, days bleed one into another.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
And as always, you join in through social media, don't you? So join in. Fill your boots, man. Fill your boots. Fill your boots. Tell me what you want to tell me. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Yes. Well, the news. The coronavirus doom and gloom was halted temporarily today by the news. Well, it's wonderful news, it must be said, that the Prime Minister Boris Johnson and his partner Carrie Symons, well, they announced the arrival of a new baby, a baby boy. A baby boy for Boris and Carrie. It must be said, by the way, that rumours circulating on the internet that Johnson's security detail buried a jackal behind the hospital are totally unfounded, right? As are rumours that Theresa May and David Cameron chipped in and bought the lad a Rottweiler puppy. Why can't people just be happy for Boris and Carrie? Hate speech! Jackals being buried behind the hospital. I used to say, when I was a bit younger, that if I was granted one wish by the genie in the lamp, and we all know that the genie in the lamp is a real story. It's true. I've been breathing on lamps and rubbing them down with the sleeve of my jumper for years. Eventually a genie will come out and say, you can have one wish and one wish only, BBG. At which point I'd say, I used to say I'd be selfish. If I got the chance to have one wish, I'd be going back to the International Hotel in Vegas for 24 hours just to see the king of rock and roll do the matinee and evening performance. Selfish bastard, yeah. No going back to kill Hitler as a baby for me, no, no. But if I was to be granted one wish by a genie today, it would be that Boris would leave his girlfriend Carrie Symons for Jacob Rees-Mogg and they would raise the lad. Boris Johnson and Jacob Rees-Mogg would raise the sprog. Can you imagine the state of that kid when he reaches puberty? I'm willing to go to drop my long-held stance on same-sex adoption to see that, to see Boris Johnson and Rees-Mogg raise a child. It would make great reality television. Who knows? Who knows the way things are going? That's why they call me right-wing, by the way. My friends in Ireland, I have one or two, I'm not that unpopular, who've been, you know, who've known me for years. They laughed out loud at the characterisation of me in the UK media as right-wing. I couldn't be anything further from it. But they say things like that because I'm against same-sex couples raising kids. Not because I think gays and lesbians are a shower of dirty, unholy bastards. No, I don't think that. And I'm sure a gay couple is capable of loving a child and doing their best for the child's development. It's just I don't think it's good for a kid not to have the her and the him, the mum and the dad. Yada, yada, yada. Bada bing, you know? Right wing. There's nothing right wing about that. Ah, well. Extend the lockdown is trending on Twitter. You heard my news bulletin at the top of the hour there. The Germans relaxed lockdown restrictions. Infection rates are allegedly going up. So end the lockdown. No. Say it again. Extend the lockdown is trending on Twitter. It's so depressing, I don't even want to go there. Extend the lockdown. Extend it. Prime Minister's Questions takes place every Wednesday. Bojo was celebrating the arrival of his son with Carrie. So he didn't show up. It was left again to Dominic Raab. And there's a new leader of the Labour Party now, Keir Starmer. You'll hear Keir Starmer talking about the lockdown and about debts, because the debts have gone up in the UK as well, allegedly. You'll just hear a very brief comment from Starmer, then you'll hear Dominic Raab. Starmer first.
And we're possibly on track to have one of the worst death rates in Europe. On Monday, the Prime Minister said in his short speech that many were looking at our apparent success in the United Kingdom. But does the First Secretary agree with me that far from success, these latest figures are truly dreadful?
Absolutely share his, I guess, our joint horror at the number of deaths. Tragedies each and every one. Equally, I'm going to disagree with him that it is far too early to make international comparisons. If they are to be done, they should be done on a per capita basis. And I think we're already seeing that there are different ways that deaths are measured, not just in the UK in the different settings, but across Europe and across the world. And of course, this is a very, as I've said, delicate and dangerous moment in this pandemic, which is why, with the greatest respect, I think we do need to wait until we've got further evidence from SAGE before moving towards a transitional phase or a second phase, and it would be irresponsible right now and to start setting out in detail what proposals we might come up with in advance of having that advice from SAGE.
Yes, yeah, the lockdown is not going to end the way you probably imagined back in March that it would end. That a day would come and they would say, well, it seems to be okay outside now. It seems to be less dangerous. Let's go back to work. No, and I'm not going to dwell on that now because I don't have time to get into it. It is 10 minutes past the hour. Dr. Andy Kaufman should be standing by in New York City to speak with you and me. So we'll cut short the news roundup, even though there isn't an awful lot of new news or anything like that. So we'll have a tune. Stevie Wonder, the genius that is Stevie Wonder. This is Higher Ground on the Richie Allen Radio, live from Salford in Greater Manchester. And I am Richie Allen, the BBG, not the BBC. Back with Andy Kaufman. You don't want to miss this. Stevie Wonder on the Richie Allen Radio Show, exactly 14 minutes past the hour. Wednesday's programme, April 29th, 2020. And the weather improving in the northwest of the UK, as I said. Before I give you a brief idea of who my guest is, this hour, let me just point out that there is another point of view about coronavirus, about how we came to be in the lockdown, what the virus is itself, and it is not being heard on television and radio in the UK. You know, we talked about Professor Carl Hennigan from Oxford University, Peter Hitchens, of course, bringing him up, and others. And what I want to do here is introduce you to a man whom you've come across in recent weeks, because he is a qualified man who put a YouTube video online, put a video online on YouTube talking about why he doesn't believe the narrative about coronavirus. He doesn't believe in the pandemic or that the virus is real. And it was quickly taken down and he was criticised in many quarters for it. And of course, I'm very interested in that because he's a qualified man. He's a doctor who got his degree in medicine from the University of South Carolina. He went on to do a degree in molecular biology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and he completed his psychiatric training at Duke University Medical Center. And his resume is very impressive. And when somebody's got an impressive resume like that, you think, well, he's earned the right to an opinion. Why isn't he being heard on NBC, on CNN? Why is the BBC not phoning him up to challenge, at least even to basically challenge what it is that he has said? Let's welcome to the programme, live from New York City, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Dr. Kaufman, welcome to the programme.
Oh, thank you very much, Richie.
Nice to have you, sir. If you don't mind me calling you Andy, I know your friends refer to you as Andy online, so that we're not so formal all the way through. Thanks so much for coming on. We've only got a half an hour. You've got lots of interviews to do today. You're in demand. Can I ask you a couple of quick-fire questions? How surprised were you at the way you were attacked by the press when you put your initial thoughts online about the virus. How much of a surprise was that to you?
Well, it wasn't a surprise at all. It was something I was expecting. And quite frankly, I don't really pay too much attention to what's in the mainstream media, because much of what they report, almost all of it, is not based on scientific evidence or facts.
So that, it was something you expected. It doesn't bother you. It's like water off a duck's back. Fair enough.
Well, you know, in a way, I kind of take it as a compliment that people are putting the effort into talking about me and what I have to say. So I think that perhaps might bring some attention to what I'm saying. And my goal is really just to present some scientific evidence that would allow people to listen to it and start asking some questions of their own, because so many things just don't add up in this situation.
Now, you say, and I will ask you with the utmost respect to be as brief as you can with the answers because of the time that we have. That's not me being disrespectful to you at all. You're used to being interviewed. You know what an interview is. So I want to get through as much as I can before 1:45, the top of the hour. Now, you say that you don't believe that there is a virus. And this despite hundreds of biologists and virologists and doctors saying that there is one. Why do you not believe the virus, that there is a virus and that it's doing so much damage?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is since I'm not a virologist, I'm looking at this scientific information as somewhat of an outsider. I'm not stuck to any paradigm or any underlying fundamental principle. So I can look at the big picture and I feel that I can look at things a little more objectively. But essentially what I've done is I've gone and scrutinized the scientific papers that were published, which claim to identify and isolate a new virus. And I found through looking at their procedures and methods that they haven't even come close to doing that.
And one of the things that you've said before we get on to exosomes, and I tell you what, Andy, I've been reading and reading and reading all day long about exosomes, and I've been looking at your work, obviously, and I've looked at your videos online to try and get a handle on what they are. But before we go there, you have said something that's very controversial. And as a doctor friend of mine who's in Ireland, and it would be nice, I suppose, someday if he was to be here and somebody like you was to be here, but it can't happen. And he said to me that he finds it strange that you say that everything that you were taught in medical school about the transmission of viruses between people is untrue. You don't believe it. Like, I'm somebody who is very fit and very healthy, don't smoke, but I am prone to viruses. I do get viruses, flus and stuff like that, respiratory infections. And I've always understood it that if I'm in a closed environment with somebody who's got the symptoms, Dr. Kaufman, and they're sneezing and coughing, I can get it. And I've kind of been brought up to believe that, but you don't believe that's true.
Well, there's a very important principle at work here, and that principle is whomever proposes a theory has the burden of proof to show that that theory is valid. And what we're talking about is the germ theory of disease, which says that a microorganism invades our body and causes a disease. So if what you experience and you think is contagion were based on that, it would be at the behest of whoever proposed that theory to provide experimental evidence. And there's very little evidence at all for contagion. But if you go back to the 1918 Spanish flu, the United States Public Health Service worked with a group of physicians and scientists in Boston, and they did a series of experiments with 100 healthy volunteers. And they took people who were sick with the Spanish flu, and they collected all kinds of secretions from them, had them cough things up, spit. They collected, had them sneeze and collected the mucus. They even swabbed their eyeballs. And they did a series of several experiments where they tried to use that so-called infectious material to get 100 healthy people ill with the same disease. And throughout those three or four experiments where they even injected the material into them, they did not have one person who got sick with that disease.
Fascinating, isn't it? This is why I love having gentlemen like you on the program. Because you're right, I saw that. What I've got to do today now is present the argument that your critics should be presenting to you live on CNN, but they won't do it, which is a tragedy. Now, your critics say, yes, absolutely, that's interesting. But they also say, and I've been to Dachau in Munich myself, they say the Nazis did it, and the Nazis proved it. They gave Jewish prisoners TB, and they gave them other infections in the way that you just described that didn't happen with the Spanish flu.
Well, I haven't seen that research. I'm not sure if it's published, but in any case, the contagion issue is really less important because it's based upon the theory that there is a virus that causes the disease. So first you would have to go about proving that, and that simply hasn't done, been done, especially for the virus allegedly associated with COVID-19.
So what is happening then? Let's forego China if we can. I mean, there's so many different arguments. I mean, people can go to your website, andrewkaufmanmd.com. There are plenty of videos of Andy giving really detailed explanations of his theory, detailed presentations, I should say, where he's using all manner of very interesting graphs and slides and diagrams. It's very good. So I recommend you go on to YouTube, Google, YouTube.com, and look at those, right? I want to talk about exosomes now, because this has been very controversial. And this is where you've taken a lot of hits, although you're not aware of it because you don't pay attention to the mainstream media, which is good for you. Talk to us about exosomes, because from what I understand, you believe that the viruses that are claimed, so when the World Health Organization says there is a virus of some type or another, you believe that virus actually has come about inside a cell. The reason being, the cell has produced it to combat toxins, and therefore the PCR test that looks for coronavirus is actually testing for exosomes. These exosomes are produced by cells under stress from toxins. Did I say that right? I might have.
It can be very confusing. So let me just break it down for you in the simplest way that I can. So there's two separate issues. One is the RNA, which is the genetic material that is the basis of the PCR test, which is the main diagnostic test. So the way that that was established was, and by the way, the same exact scientific procedures are followed in every single paper that I've looked at on this. So I'll describe them in general terms.
Okay.
But basically, they have a sick person. They collect some lung fluid from that person. And then they add a enzyme which digests any membranes in that mixture. And then they start sequencing RNA. But the thing is, they didn't purify that sample, so they don't know what the source of the RNA is. In lung fluid, there are going to be cells from your lung, there are going to be immune cells, there are going to be cells from bacteria and fungi that normally live in your body. There is also going to be free genetic material, which has been demonstrated in scientific studies. So since there are so many sources of this genetic material, it's unknown what the source is of the material that they've sequenced. Now, they've compared it to the SARS-CoV-1 virus, which was allegedly responsible for the SARS pandemic in 2003. But they used the same exact procedures to sequence that RNA, so we don't really know what the source of that is. But they say that it's related because there's a 79.6% sequence identity between the two sequences. However, if you look at the difference between humans and chimpanzees, we have a 96%, a far higher sequence identity. But would you be able to say that humans are chimpanzees? So they're basically saying it's this other virus, which also has unknown source of genetic material based on less than 80% sequence identity. So whatever the PCR test is measuring by isolating or identifying this particular sequence, we really don't know what it means. But there's no proof that it comes from a virus because they did not purify the virus and then extract the genetic material so that they know what the source is.
I like the fact that you're saying that there's still work to be done on this. It's really interesting. By the way, I went to university. I suppose most of us went to college or to university. And a friend of mine, knowing that you were coming on, who is a doctor working in the Republic of Ireland and does admire your qualifications, he said, Richie, you've got to say to Andy that just as we know gravity exists because we jump up and we jump down, we know that humans can pass diseases to one another through airborne germs. And Andy must know that. I don't know if you want to answer that, but he's a doctor and he just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, well, we definitely observe what we call gravity, but do we really understand what is driving it? Initially, we were told that it was a force, and now there's been more recent scientific experiment that says it's a disruption in the space-time continuum. So those are two very different theories that both could potentially explain what we observe as gravity. So what we observe as contagion can also be explained by many other mechanisms, including exposure to a common toxin, or it could be related to other forms of social contagion. For example, when someone yawns in a group of people, other people begin to yawn, and we observe the same contagion, but we would never postulate that that was related to a virus.
Fair enough. One of these days, the world will return to normality, Andy, and we'll be able to get another qualified doctor, scientist, to spend an hour with you on national telly with no hostility, and we can debate these things. But sadly, we don't have a world like that anymore. People are shut down, and I'm left doing the best I can to put the other side to you, and I have no qualifications. But I have been gathering some of the more scientific criticisms of what you've been saying, the ones that are more respectful, and I want to put a couple of them to you.
Richie, may I interrupt for a second?
You can.
I would like to explain what I meant by the exosome piece briefly first.
You can, of course. Right. Go right ahead.
So the second part of the way that they've claimed to isolate this virus in several papers is that they once again take the lung fluid, which has a mixture of a number of things, and they add that to a cell culture, and they generally use cells that are non-human. So like the most common are these cells called Vero cells, which are from the kidneys of monkeys. And they mix in antibiotics with those cells. So exosomes, what they are vesicles, which are small sacs of material that are secreted by virtually all cells, all of our human cells and all of other mammalian cells. And in certain conditions, these get turned up. So whenever you're sick with almost any kind of illness, you make more exosomes. And when you're exposed to antibiotics, which has been shown in several studies, it also increases the amount of exosomes. And exosomes are thought to play a role in intracellular communication, so communication between cells, as well as in taking up toxins in the extracellular space, so outside of cells. And that's been demonstrated experimentally, and there's clear evidence for it. And these exosomes are almost identical in structure and appearance to what has been called viruses in the past. So they have a membrane, they have receptor proteins on the membrane, and they contain genetic material, including RNA, inside. And that's probably what they're communicating to other cells. So in these experiments alleging to isolate a new virus, what they do is they have cells that they mix with the lung fluid, and then they mix in antibiotics. So that is a recipe to create exosomes. And then what they do is after they culture this for several days or even a week or more, they then look at it under the microscope. And so if there was a virus present, you would expect to find both exosomes and viral particles. But in none of the papers do they even acknowledge the possibility of exosomes, and there are no photographs from the microscope where they show two arrows, you know, one pointing to an exosome and one pointing to a virus. And they don't purify these samples, which it might be difficult actually to purify exosomes and viruses. So the only conclusion I can really reach is that what they're showing under the microscope are actually exosomes, since they would obviously be there because they're basically created the recipe to make exosomes. And if they were to show a virus, what they would have to do is take the lung fluid and purify the viral particles out of that without mixing it with anything else. And then they could say that there's a particle that may be a virus, and they can characterize it, and they can extract the genetic material only from those particles. And then they can look at the sequence and perhaps hypothesize about what the significance of that might be.
That was very compelling in your presentation and the imagery that you used to show what has been described as viruses and what has been described as exosomes. And you've done a brilliant job there, I think, of explaining exosomes to a layman like me, because I now understand what they are. So just to get to the other point of view again, it's a tragedy that I've got to be the one to say, what about this or what about that? And I admire the humility that you've delivered your presentations with, you know, and the room you've left there for further study and for further investigation. That's very important. But somebody claiming to be a virologist, and again, this annoys me, claiming to be a virologist using the website Reddit, who was complimentary to you and to your qualifications and to your absolute right to your opinion. You've earned the right to your opinion. Wanted to point this out. Said that Kaufman's work is good, but he's leaving out something that's really important. The fact that some exosomes are releasing viral RNA could only happen if the cell has been infected with a virus. And that's a fundamental flaw in Dr. Kaufman's thesis. Exosomes are releasing viral RNA, but that can only happen if the cell has been infected with a virus, because viruses cannot replicate themselves. They have to hijack the cell to do that, to replicate itself inside the host cell and then get out. So how do you respond to that, that viral RNA must be present?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sure, Richie, I'm well aware of papers on that. And in fact, many virologists have interpreted that to mean that essentially viruses and exosomes are the same thing, possibly. So I think this is a pretty new area of research. Exosomes were only discovered as a distinct entity about 30 years ago. Although if you go back to virus papers from the 1940s and 50s, when they were first developing the protocols using the electron microscope, they were well aware that various types of debris from our own cells has a similar appearance to viruses, and it was very difficult for them to differentiate. So if you look at this DNA, there's some mRNA that may be identified as being viral, but in order to know what the source of that genetic material is, you once again have to go back to the original papers where they've discovered that as being some kind of outside DNA that's not part of our own DNA complement. And if you go back and look at those papers, they use the same exact procedures where they isolate the genetic material from an impure sample that contains our own cells. So it's really difficult to tell what the actual origin of DNA or RNA that they're labeling as viral DNA or RNA really is.
This is fascinating. I'm going to offer one little bit of the counter argument, one more. And then in the 10 minutes we have left, I want to do a couple of questions about what's really going on, because it's pretty scary what's happening. You know, the censorship, of course, of men and women like you, which I don't like, Andy, because one of the things I've come to believe from reading you all week long and listening to your videos is that you're a qualified man who believes what he is saying. And that's very important to me, that a man is qualified and that he believes what he is saying to be true. That's hugely important. The censorship thing is terrible. The lockdown, and I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. But one final bit of counter argument. Again, a virologist who has reviewed your video, he said, look, viruses basically piggyback the exosome, the exit machinery of this cell. The virus looks like an exosome, and some virologists do describe some viruses as exosomes, but viruses, says this critic, do not have human RNA, and no amount of toxin in the body is going to cause any cell in your body to make viral RNA. And this particular critic believes that is why he can't go along with your theory. What do you say before we move on to other sinister aspects of this?
Yes, well, if no disease or toxicity causes our cells to make exosomes with viral RNA or DNA, then what is the source of the exosomes, as mentioned in the previous question, that have viral RNA?
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much why cells make exosomes. They make them at a low level all the time, but they are induced to make them in much, much higher quantities in a diseased state. And then once again, you have this problem of what is the original origin of the allegedly viral genetic material? Because if you look at the procedures they're following, they've not I've not seen any papers. If there is one, I would be happy to examine it, where they take a body fluid from a sick individual and directly from that, without mixing anything in it, purify out particles and then extract the genetic material from that. I've not seen a study where they've done that other than exosome studies.
To your credit, you've said repeatedly, as far as I can understand, it's important to take this on and to proceed with it. And really what you need is a couple of honest broker virologists to say, all right, Dr. Kaufman, I'll go along with you, we'll have a look at this. That's very important, I believe. I want to turn now to, so the Germans are saying we relaxed the lockdown and more people are getting sick. In the UK today, panic stations, Andy, on mainstream media, more and more people are getting sick. What are they getting sick of, Dr. Andy Kaufman? What is going on? Is this real? Is there some sort of illness going around? If so, how are people getting it? I know we've only got about 10 minutes to go. I'll ask you to be as quick as you can on that. It's an important question.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the devil is in the details in answering this question, because health organizations and public health government bodies around the world have been instructing doctors to change the way they record death certificates.
Yeah.
And I think you really have to only look at mortality, because since we don't know what the diagnostic test is actually measuring, we can't rely on that to give us any credible information. So if you look at mortality statistics, what you see is that there's no increase in overall mortality at all this year compared to previous years. And so I checked the CDC website this morning, and they have a graph that they're updating on a weekly basis where it looks at the total number of deaths week by week since the beginning of 2020. And it compares that number with the average deaths that occurred over the last 3 years. And right now, the most up-to-date numbers is that this year, there are actually 6% fewer deaths overall than the average over the last 3 years. So, and what I'm saying is there are actually less people dying this year of all causes than over the last 3 years on average. So combine that with the clearly demonstrated observation that almost all hospitals are empty right now, and that, at least in the United States, I know for sure, they are laying off nurses, pharmacists, lab techs, and other healthcare workers. So if we're facing the worst pandemic in 100 years, why are all the hospital beds empty?
Yeah.
Why are they laying off healthcare workers? And why is there no evidence of any increased death rate?
I'd love to argue. You see, it's my job to argue with you and put a counter argument to that, but I can't, you see. You know, I live within 500 meters of a massive hospital. I know people who work there. I know people who work in hospitals. I'm a well-known journalist in my part of the world, in Munster, in Ireland. And I'm a well-known radio presenter in the northwest of the UK. You are right to say that. Hospitals are not overrun. Staff are being laid off. And yet we are told the contrary. Yet we see videos emerging from hospitals of doctors doing elaborate dance routines and singing songs. I wonder what the bloody hell is going on. What is going on, Dr. Andy Kaufman? How sinister is this? If you're right, and I don't know that you are because I'm not a scientist, but I do know that you believe that you're right and that you've earned the right to your opinion. If you're right and they're looking for exosomes and not a virus and they are getting false positives, surely they must know this. And if they do know it, how sinister is this whole pandemic? What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that the medical people in the hospitals who are dealing with this situation really know what's going on. But clearly they're starting to ask a lot of questions. But at the top of this, you know, you have people like Dr. Fauci and Bill Gates. Yeah. And I believe they are in the know. So, and to me, as far as I can tell, this is a completely manufactured illness, and it seems to be for the purpose of changing our society in very profound ways. So, for example, we have been stripped of our personal freedoms, including the freedom to travel, the freedom to assemble, in many cases, freedom of religion, because you're not allowed to congregate at religious institutions. And I know that was really tough for people, especially on Easter. Then you have the complete shutdown of the financial sector, with businesses being closed and massive bailouts that are going to result in substantial inflation and many, many other problems. And now we're talking about basically instituting measures to spy on people through what they call contact tracing, which is a term that was initially developed in 1931. But basically, they want to put apps on our cell phone that's going to follow our every move. In fact, and then they also have put in policies like social distancing and wearing masks that alienate us from each other. Create a situation where we can't communicate effectively because we can't see people's facial expressions. And I think it has caused us to be afraid of each other and perhaps even ourselves that we're going to get sick even from hugging our own child.
It's disgusting, isn't it? An Irish journalist was on the program the other day, John Waters, lovely man, very, very famous Irish journalist. And he said, you know, the sun, contact with our fresh air, the sun, and contact with our loved ones, essential for life, and it's been taken away from people. Just while we have 3 minutes left, thanks for saying that. It must be a big deal for a man of medicine like you to say something like that, because you know you're going to be shot to pieces for saying it. I admire your candor. I think you happen to be right, but that's not, you know, it's nobody's business what I think. It doesn't matter what I think. Let me ask you about Dr. Cameron Seidel, Kyle Seidel, and a nurse, and we've heard similar stories here in the UK. He believes that there is some nasty lung thing. See, I say I'm not a doctor, I don't have the lovely terminology. There is something going on with people, and he reckons it's almost, and I know you've come across this, Andy, he reckons it's more like altitude sickness, and that the introduction of the intubation or the incubator is actually killing people. And we've seen this in New York City, your state, of course. Have you got a comment on that? What do you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I'm not sure that there's evidence of any new kind of illness causing this, but certainly the ventilator is a major, major factor. So what seems to have occurred is that they have changed the entire procedure of how they do breathing support in the intensive care setting in these hospitals. So it used to be that you would first get oxygen from a nasal cannula, which are those tubes that go up your nose, and they would increase the percentage of oxygen until you had some relief and comfort breathing. If that wasn't enough, they would go to a Venturi mask, which has several different settings. And if that wasn't enough, they would then go to a non-rebreather mask, which delivers 100% oxygen. And if that wasn't enough, then they would go to a positive airway pressure machine, which is similar to a ventilator in some ways, but it's much less invasive and easier to come off of. And what they've done now is that they've skipped all those steps and they go right from the nasal cannula to a ventilator. And when you put healthy people on a ventilator or people that don't require to be on a ventilator, you get all sorts of problems. You get lung injury and in a substantial portion of people, you can actually bring about death.
Wow.
So if you're taking these people who don't really need a ventilator and putting them on it instantly, and by the way, there, at least in the United States, there are financial incentives. You get paid much, the hospitals get reimbursed much higher rates if they use ventilators.
No way.
Wow. Yes, so yes, I think that what he's mostly describing is ventilator-associated lung injury.
Absolute final question. Thanks for coming on today. You've got television interviews to do with TV channels here in the UK and other things. Grateful for your time. I hope in the near future, I won't put any pressure on you, I hope in the near future when you've got an hour, you might come on and spend a bit of time with us because I've really enjoyed listening to you. Final question, 60 seconds before you go. It's a stupid final question because it needs a lot of time, but give me the 60-second answer. Are people right to be concerned about the rollout of 5G microwave technology, non-ionizing radiation? Should they be concerned?
Well, Richie, let me say that thank you very much for having me, and I'm sorry that my time is short today. I would be happy to come back.
Lovely.
I think there are a lot of things to be concerned about with 5G, but it's a big unknown factor, and it is awfully strange that they would be feverishly trying to install a new telecommunications infrastructure when the one we have is working fine and all the other industries are shut down. There's very little data about the health effects, but there are some things that show that it can impair mitochondrial function, as well as cause suppression of the bone marrow, which would lead to anemia and low blood cell counts overall. So these things need to be investigated substantially in order to know for sure what the effects, but it certainly is troublesome.
Thanks so much for coming on. And do me a favor, do thank Nisha as well. It is Nisha. I hope I pronounced that right. Is that right, Nisha?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank her for her help. And you can find out more about Dr. Kaufman. Go to andrewkaufmanmd.com online. And if you put his name into Google, you see the presentations, which are very detailed, and you can follow them along. Andy, thanks so much for coming on. It's a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Richie. It's been great.
And bye for now. Dr. Andy Kaufman, live on the line from New York City, off to do TV interviews here. And he's doing some stuff in Ireland later on, and he's doing other interviews in the United States. So very kind of him to come on. It's rotten. There was a tweet earlier on from somebody who obviously doesn't listen to the programme, who said, quite rightly, by the way, why don't you get a virologist to come on and debate him? Do you know what? Why didn't I think of that? This is the feckin' problem. This is what's happened to the world. You know? You have to remember when you're listening to this program, I've done the commercial and briefly national media, production, presenting. I've done it. I come from a time when people were quite happy to spend 45 minutes with one another, arguing their theories. But not anymore. Not anymore. So the chances of me getting somebody from academia to come on and debate him today are virtually zero. We try it every time, and we either get no response whatsoever, or we get a very curt no. I did my best to put the other side of it to him, what his critics say about his theory, that information, and he had good answers for it there. You know, about the exosomes, his critics say that no amount of toxins in the body will cause any cell to make viral RNA. They don't believe that's possible. They disagree with him. They disagree with Andy Kaufman when he says, you know, that what we were taught in school about germs is probably wrong. They disagree with that. I do all that, but that's all I can do. You need these people to debate one another in public with a moderator who knows a bit more about medicine than I do. But it doesn't happen. So you get one side of the story, and you get a guy interviewing him who doesn't know a stethoscope from a fucking thermometer. Right. That's the way it is. It's madness, this world we live in. It's mad. But what are you going to do? Thanks for your tweets. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Don't forget, Mads Palsvig will be live from Copenhagen in hour two. It's been a while. Mads was on with me a few months ago, But it was a long time between conversations, and I like Mads, so he'll be on with me. We'll probably come at the lockdown from several different angles. Just to give you a quick rundown of the headlines, if you want them, they're saying that the number of people who died with coronavirus in this country is 26,000. And they're talking about care homes, because they've got figures for the amount of people dying in care homes. And I need a bit of time to look at these figures. And I need to get somebody on the programme who can look at the care home figures, who's able to analyse those figures and give us an honest picture here on the Richie Allen Radio Show, because I think it's very significant what's gone on in care homes. Very significant. I don't think we've even scratched the surface of what's happened there. So the BBC reporting 26,000 deaths in the UK of coronavirus. But you might say to yourself, why didn't Richie challenge Andrew Kaufman when he said that death rates are not rising around the globe per annum, that we're not seeing any more deaths? Because he's right. I didn't challenge him because he's right. I've seen all those figures. These are official figures. They're not conspiracy theory figures. Despite this deadly virus that is killing so many people, and it's so horrible and virile and strong and robust and vicious, and we all have to stay home and change our lives forever and give up all of our civil liberties. More people are not dying in 2020 than died in 2019. It's a fact. And I think that's one fact above all others, because it's irrefutable, that we should be screaming from the rooftops, in my opinion. Here's the Smiths. I know. I played another Smith song earlier in the week. I know. I'll do what I want. It's my bloody radio program. How about them apples? Yeah, whenever they do one of these polls, or when they get talking heads onto a TV show to talk about the greatest songs of all time, that one inevitably comes up. How Soon Is Now by the Smiths on the Richie Allen Radio Show, Tuesday's programme. It is live, of course. Live it is. Lovely to be doing live radio. Never understood these guys who like to make podcasts, to sit down and record them and then upload them. There's not enough danger in that for me. You know, I'm a man who likes to live on the edge. Well, things can go wrong, as they sometimes do. It's funny that we're told we live in an era now. We live in the on-demand era. I remember back in 2013 when I was in London, David Icke and myself were being told by younger people, they said, don't worry about doing live programmes, because they wanted the Richie Allen Show on the People's Voice to be live. And of course, I wanted it to be live. But there were younger heads, young men and women, some of whom had worked for and did work for the BBC. And they said, don't worry about this live thing. We live in this era when people take things when they want to take them, not when they're given them. People don't adhere to a schedule now, today, like they used to, kind of a thing. But Ike and myself, of course, Ike and Alan, we were like, well, we love live. But the one thing you can do when you do a live show is you can gauge how your audience feel about it. Hi to Chris, who mentions Dr. Rashid, is it Buttar or Butter? He's turned down the opportunity of appearing on the Richie Allen Radio Show. He doesn't know what he's missing. 6% of the population. He's declined. So we live in a free... Well, we don't. We don't. We don't. We think we live in a free world. Sometimes I invite people on and incredibly, they say no thank you. So there you are. Left Hand of God is tweeting, it would appear 95% of the British public are identifying as brainwashed. Brain dead, spineless, neo-libtard cowards. I must give you a book for Christmas, How to Win Friends and Influence People. These are our neighbours and our friends. Just because they don't see things the way we see them doesn't make them cowards. You know, I consider myself rather fortunate that I've been able to see things a bit differently. I don't think I'm more intelligent than the guy across the street who thinks that conspiracy theories are a load of bollocks. Now, I know you might think that's counterintuitive. It isn't. It doesn't make me more intelligent. I feel lucky that something... I met people, I read a book that I didn't want to read. I read a book, I've talked about this, I'm not going to get into it again. I read a book that I didn't want to read, but I was stuck with a book by my bedside, no other books. And I started reading it. It was David's 9/11 book, Alice in Wonderland book, which made me start to think very differently about things. I didn't just read it and swallow it and go, oh yeah. I mean, I looked at it and thought, right, okay, I'll check that out. So I think I'm a bit lucky. Hi to Liz Jones. Hi to Bass Ninja. And he says on this subject of trying to give people a moment of pause, he says it's shocking the response some people give you when you suggest away from the mainstream line. It's like throwing a wolf into a sheep pen. Panic with anger mixed with ridicule. All without a singular thought on their part. Yet we're crazy, says Bass Ninja. But again, you know, I'm not going to keep repeating. Listen, I agree with you. Stephen James, Steve, to his friends, says open logical discussion and debate is being shut down to be replaced by this proverbial one-sided narrative from the mainstream media. It certainly is. Hi to Fran Griffin. How you doing, Fran? Who suggests somebody called Paul Cottrell as somebody who might debate with Andrew Kaufman. I must confess, Fran, I've not heard of Paul Cottrell. He might not heard of me either. So I don't know who that is, but I will check it out later. I will check it out. I'm a man of my word. Hi to a behemoth. I ran out of time. I had a couple of questions. There was a question from Cliff Moore, and there was a question from behemoth for Dr. Andrew Kaufman. But I ran out of time, you see. I ran out of time because our time was limited. Okay, then. It is, well, it's about 40 seconds past 6 o'clock on Wednesday. Jesus, it's Wednesday. Let's head over to FSN for the headlines. Not sure anything dramatic has happened since we've been on air, but anyway, here they are.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks. US GDP plunged during the first quarter of the year, down to minus 4.8%, conjuring up fresh fears that the country is on the brink of another Great Depression. Germany's COVID-19 infection rates have risen following steps to loosen the country's lockdown. And Bollywood actor and global film star Irfan Khan has died at the age of 53 following a battle with cancer.
Right, so nothing new there then. Those films he mentioned earlier on are good films, by the way. They are worth checking out. Right, here's a quick message. Then we're back, and then Mads Palsvik should join us from Copenhagen.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Thanks to you, The Richie Allen Show is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Show your support for this unique broadcaster by making a regular financial contribution. Just the price of a cup of coffee each month will make a massive difference. Visit richieallen.co.uk for details.
All righty then, that's good. Yeah. Okay, lovely. Messages coming at me from all over the place. Let me give you a quick heads up. Dr. Rima Labo, MD, another medical doctor, another extremely qualified woman with a great career, will be on the programme tomorrow. Now, she's writing on her website about coronavirus. I think you'll want to hear her. And if I can just bring this up, I met a really nice lady online who's written a book. She's based in Haifa in Israel, and her name is Shoshi Hersku. And she's written a book about awakening. And she's tried to come to terms with the notion, the idea that a global elite is manipulating events for its own ends. And by manipulating events, it's basically plunging us into the dark ages, plunging us into poverty, plunging us into lockdown. She's a really, really lovely lady. I got in touch with her and I said, yes, come on the programme, live from Haifa in Israel. So she said she would. So she'll be on the programme tomorrow night. I think you'll like meeting her. That's a Shoshi Hersku. That's right. I pronounced that right. And Rima Labo. It's ladies' night. It's Thursday, you see. It's ladies' night on Thursday on the Richie Allen Radio Show. It's time for another tune. And I know that there is an elderly element to the audience of the Richie Allen Radio Show. There are some folks that are septuagenarians, not so much nonagenarians, who listen to the programme and they don't like anything that was released after 1969. So with them in mind, here's Diana Ross and the Supremes and You Can't Hurry Love, because you can't beat a bit of Motown. Back with Mads Palsvik. Diana Ross and the Supremes on the Richie Allen Radio Show. It is, of course, Wednesday's programme. Do you find that yourself? Do you find the days, because of the lockdown, days have become irrelevant? It's like the future Mrs. Allen, not mentioned for a while, it must be said. I don't think she likes it when she doesn't get the occasional mention. Said to me today about bank holidays. We have a bank holiday here in the UK Friday week. A week on Friday, yes. It won't matter, will it, to people? No, because days are irrelevant now. I really enjoy speaking with my next guest. Maybe we don't do it enough. let me remind you who he is. He is a former investment banker, a quarter of a century, working for the likes of Credit Suisse, Barclays, Morgan Stanley First, Boston. He traded fixed incomes. He did lots. And he released himself from that and did a very noble thing. He began to tell people about what's really going on in the world of high finance, because he began to understand, while working in these institutions, that they weren't as they seemed, that things weren't as they seemed to be. Very good public speaker. These days, well, recently, one of the things he's done recently in recent years is formed a political party in his home country of Denmark. Spoke on this programme very eloquently in the last few years about Brexit, about the European Union. Let's welcome back to the programme, because it's great to get his perspective on the economic impact of the COVID virus lockdown. Nice to be chatting again, live from Copenhagen, Mr. Mads Palsvig. Mads, first of all, I'm really sorry for messing the time up. What a muppet I am. How are you?
I'm very good, Reggie. So good to be back. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, oh, you're very kind. I told Mads 7:10, of course, because I'm an idiot. And it's 6:10 here in the UK. I'm a clown. What I did was I said 7:10 UK time, didn't I? Like in Egypt, as we say in Ireland. Hey, listen, first of all, give us your thoughts on what's been happening since most countries in the world decided to stop commerce in its tracks and send us all indoors because we need to be protected from a virus. Go back to the beginning. How did you feel about that when all of this happened? Was it something that, I mean, I know you have spoken at many conferences over the years in the UK, abroad. You meet with lots of different researchers who research very many different things. So I'm sure you probably heard that sometime in the future, you know, we might be locked up because of viruses and stuff. But were you surprised, Mads? How did you feel when all of this kicked off?
Well, I was stunned, like I believe we all were, taken by surprise that you would close down the entire economy. And then I thought, okay, fair enough. If you do it for 1 or 2 weeks, the incubation time for this virus in the worst case, but to close it down for 2-3 months, it's absolutely insane. But I cancelled all my demonstrations. I make demonstrations every week here in Denmark against the rollout of 5G.
5G, yeah.
Yeah, because there are like 30,000 studies, scientific studies on emfportal.org that shows that it's very dangerous to the human health. And when it all came to Europe, I cancelled my demonstrations for 5 weeks because, of course, I didn't know what was going on. I had to also show a little bit of consideration to everybody. So I closed it down even before our prime minister closed it down. But after 5 weeks, I started making demonstrations again. And that's one of the few civil liberties that they haven't taken away from us here in Denmark. So I'm actually allowed. I get the permission by the police and the local council in Copenhagen within minutes. I mean, the last I make the 1st of May demonstration here in Denmark. It's all cancelled by all the big political parties, but I make one anyway. And I got the permission in 18 minutes from the police. In 18 minutes. So there are definitely people in the police and in the town hall that are so much against what's going on. And they even tell me when I talk to them.
Let's talk about that in a minute, because we've got as much of the hour as you want. So, because of course I want to talk about your 5G activism. I did have Dr. Andrew Kaufman on the programme in the last hour. I didn't get to go into 5G very much with him, but as a man of science and medicine, he said to me that people should be rightly worried about the rollout of 5G. He said that the fact that we don't need 5G is a red flag, but also the fact that while everything is slowed down to a crawl or to a full stop, they've been busy putting this into place in cities around Europe. So I definitely want to talk to you about that. Don't worry about that. Mads Palsvig is our guest. But just for a few minutes, let's stay with the economic impact of the lockdown, because of course you have served your time in the world of high finance. How much of an impact is it going to have on people's livelihoods going forward, Mads? What's it going to be like? Well, go ahead.
I think this is where you and I and everybody in our communities who are trying to make some real journalism, telling people what's really going on, we have a huge chance now to help wake up people, because we can explain the money creation with this this incident and the 2008 financial crisis. We now have a perfect chance to explain to people how money creation is, because what's going to happen if we don't do it, you and I and everybody else who is sympathizing with us, then all the governments of the world will say, whether they are left or right, blue or red or green or whatever they are, pretend to be, they will all say the same as if we are in a one-party state. They will all say, well, we don't have a money tree, so now we spend a lot of billions of pounds and kroners and dollars on this lockdown. So obviously the taxes will have to go up and the welfare will go down and unemployment benefits will go down. And that is all bullshit. That's all bollocks. It's lies. They don't have to. And this is what they all will say, whether they are allegedly left-wing, supposedly for welfare, or right-wing, supposedly for lower taxes. They will all, if you and I don't do a great job now, they will, all these parties will blow blow steam up the noses of everybody and just lie to everybody. And what we have to now do is, just like in 2008, they bailed out the banks with 1,500 billion euros at least, and there was more in the States, and they gave all the money to the banks, and all the normal people, working class people, average people, small business owners went belly up. A lot of house owners lost their house and their property. And now this time, what has happened in Denmark and in a lot of countries is that public service workers, employed in people in the public sector, have gotten full salary, certainly here in Denmark. And then small business owners, they get up to £3,000 a month in compensation from the government if they lose minimum 30% of their turnover. They get up to £3,000 a month in compensation from the government. So, and all this amounts in my country to 300 billion kroner, which is about 35 billion pounds. And so you understand that it's a huge number. And they will, of course, say that we have to pay back the money. And the thing is, with money creation, if you don't let the banks produce the money and we have to pay it back to them, money as debt with interest, then the government can produce the money backed by all the resources in the country, just like the kings used to do it in the old days. Let's say you had a king in the Middle Ages and he made a £1 coin, and he only put in 10 pence of silver in it. Then nobody were complaining because it said £1 on the coin. So then that's how the king would make 90 pence every time he minted a coin. And this is the money creation. This is called seigniorage. And it's also very easy to understand. It's also easy to understand when the central banks are printing notes. It doesn't cost a lot. It's a piece of paper, a little bit of ink, and there you go. You print a £100 note. The government has made £100. And the digital printing of money, typing of money, is exactly the same. You just print in a one and as many zeros behind it as you wish. Obviously, if you put in too many zeros, and you have full employment, and you don't have enough resources, then you will have inflation. But as long as you have unemployment and you have resources, you have factories that are ready to produce, you have farms that are ready to produce food, you have other resources, then you won't have any inflation. So it's very, very important that we tell the people that we need to open up the economy. The corona is not even as dangerous as the flu. And we have to open up the economy. We should never have closed it down ever in the first place. But now the damage has been done. We have to minimize it so we don't have the biggest economic crash in history. And we can all do that if we all tell the journalists and we all tell the politicians, whether they are red or blue or green, that you do not have to hike taxes at all. You do not have to make any cuts in welfare benefits. It's all bullshit if they say they do that. And this is very important. We have a chance in a lifetime for ordinary people, for everybody who's not an economist or anything, even not that the economists understand money creation any better than anybody else, but because I certainly didn't find out until I stopped working in the investment banking.
Yeah.
So I'm not pointing any fingers here. I'm four of them point on myself. But I'm just saying, right now we have a chance for everybody to understand money creation. It's a brilliant chance we have now.
And if people want to read a bit more about this, they can go to the Bank of England's own website, which is bankofengland.co.uk. And there is a subsection there called How is Money Created? And I've often found this very, you know, maddening about the system. It's in many cases, the system is very honest about what it does. Here's a very quick couple of lines on how is money created on the Bank of England's own website. Money is more than banknotes and coins. And then it goes on to say, therefore, if you borrow £100 from the bank and the bank credits your account with the amount, new money has been created. It didn't exist until it was credited to your account. I mean, Mads, that's a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy. It's facts.
It's a fact.
This is how we've decided to produce money in the West, and this enormous value of money creation has been usurped by a few families, basically. I mean, if you take Denmark, for example, we have three big banks, and if the board of those three banks decide that everybody has to pay back their loans, then the monetary base will crash and the economy will crash. And it's the same in your country. If the privately owned banks decide to call in the monetary base and call back the loans, you have an economic crash. The crash in 2008 was crashed by a false flag by people in pinstripe suits saying, "Oh my God, it's overheated. We need to slow down, so we need to call back all our loans," and then they created that, and it's a false flag. It's a false flag, just like the, for example, if you go back in the 2003 Gulf crisis, it was a guy with a green military suit, Colin Powell, who said, "Oh yeah, there's a weapons of mass destruction." Yeah. Then they created another false flag, and this false flag has been created by doctors in white coats, and glasses, saying, "Oh yeah, this corona will kill, in England it will kill 500,000 people. Oh yeah," then later, once the economy was destroyed, they came out and said, "Oh, by the way, it's only 20,000.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say only, but I'm saying it's like equivalent of the what dies of a flu. It's certainly not something you should destroy the economy.
What I meant, by the way, when I said conspiracy, you're quite right, it is a fact. I meant it's a conspiracy to defraud the nation, because the bank invents the money out of thin air. It takes no risk whatsoever. When that money goes into the economy, or when it goes into the hands of a small businessman or businesswoman, they don't know any better. They're taking the loan in good faith with the interest attached. The bank takes no risk. It doesn't matter to the bank one way or the other if the loan isn't paid back. But of course, what I've come to understand over the years, what the banks want to happen is for default to occur, because when default occurs, the bank can then go and take the real wealth. It can take the land and the houses and everything else. And you and I have talked about this for some length. Before we do move to 5G, because my listeners are anxious we talk about 5G, it is a very sick thing, and you described it beautifully. You have a manufactured crisis, and you tell every business in the country to shut down, putting a debt onto those businesses that they don't deserve. And then you come along as the government, the chief antagonist. You're the reason for the problem. "Oh, don't worry about it. We will get you a loan from the bank, and that will help you during this period where, you know, you've had to stop trading," thereby saddling an extra debt on top of a business that was struggling anyway. It's sick, Mads. It's absolutely sick. And I don't understand why more captains of industry, why more businessmen and women, chambers of commerce, why haven't they said, "Excuse my language, fuck this, we're going back to work and that's it"? They've rolled over. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. People are so afraid of not following orders and not being accepted by the mainstream and so on. But I really hope more and more will wake up now. You know, we have even in Denmark, which is really following orders and believes all the lies that comes out of our mainstream television channel called DR, Danish Radio, and this is our BBC. They believe everything, and even now they're coming out. Now we have a doctor coming out in one of the main journals for doctors, saying that nobody died of corona. but they died with corona. And why have we not? Why am I not doing an autopsy on the dead people? Why are we not? And I also know one of the foremost scientists in Denmark, and he cannot get any access whatsoever to study anything related to corona. It's totally forbidden, and he has never experienced that in his entire life. He's one of the finest scientists in Denmark, and he has access to everything normally. But corona, he cannot study the numbers.
Isn't that incredible? So he wants access to data. He wants access maybe to, I don't know, to cultures. He might want to look at the medical data, and they won't allow him to do it. They're saying no. Wow.
They're saying no. This is a crisis. If this was a real crisis and not a pandemic, a planned event, if this wasn't a false flag, of course he would have access to it, so we could learn from it and we could find out what to do, how to prepare ourselves better in the future. But this is not what it's all about.
If you want to follow Mads on Twitter, it's at Mads Paulsvig. Mads is on Facebook as well. There's only one Mads Paulsvig, by the way, on Facebook, so check him out and follow him there. Always interesting discussions going on that Facebook page. And the Twitter, it's at Paulsvig. Let's talk about this thing that keeps coming up, 5G, which I'm very, very interested in. And I read those studies published back in 2017, 2018 by hundreds of scientists, you know, establishment scientists, who said that the technology presented a very, very serious danger to people's health. And I have great admiration for people like you and others, friends of yours who have been on this program, who are trying to get people to think again about 5G. And just speaking to Dr. Andrew Kaufman in the first hour of the program, we didn't get too much time to get into his own personal feeling about it, but he said, yes, you know, people are right to be very concerned about it. And he was struck by the fact that while everything else has ground to a halt here in the UK and in America and everywhere else, the erection of the transmitters and the engineers going about making sure that this stuff is working, well, that's going on as normal, when everything is supposed to be shut down because we're all supposed to be in danger of getting the virus. Really good to hear that you're able to still go out in Copenhagen and speak to people and, you know, put a different point of view to them about 5G. But what about that central point that Kaufman made, that this is going on at a rate of knots while everything else is locked down?
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, for example, all the public toilets are closed down because that's not essential. Obviously, human beings do not need to go to the toilet. At the same time, 5G masts are being set up in every single school and kindergarten in Denmark because that is obviously essential, yeah?
Yeah.
So there you go. There you have it. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing.
And they're doing it. There was a lot of controversy around interviews, not just interviews given by David Icke, but interviews given by other people who tried to draw some sort of inference that they were inferring that there was a connection between 5G and the virus. And I think some people got misquoted, definitely, deliberately by the mainstream media. Some people said they thought there was a direct relationship between 5G and people feeling unwell. But others, and I suppose I had more sympathy for the others who said that maybe around hospitals and places where 5G is maybe up and running, maybe that there could be some causation as to why people are becoming very ill after they've gone to hospital. But it's so bloody hard to get any, you know, like you said, any data, any hard evidence. What do you think, Mads? When people started talking about 5G and coronavirus, I know you started looking into it. What did you find and what do you think?
Well, first of all, I think if YouTube and Google and Facebook and everybody else, BBC, Danish radio, everybody else prohibits any talk of any connection between corona and 5G, this is probably a good reason to look into it. That's the main reason I think we should look into it, because why censor something if there's nothing there? It would just die out by itself, right? So I think we should look into it, and certainly there are symptoms from 5G that is very similar to the flu and also to the sickness you have when you get altitude sickness. So there are certain sicknesses, and also we know from a fact from all these studies in radiation that you you feel very unwell when you are being radiated. You get a headache. You have a lot of tension. You get very easily annoyed, which is why you can see there are. I think when I was younger, we could talk about have political discussions without being very angry with each other. It's almost impossible now. If you don't just quote what had been said on the television the evening before, people get very aggressive. And it wasn't like that when I was in college. It was, you know, half of us were, I was at that time right wing, and half my friends were left wing. And we would argue in class, and then afterwards we would go out, have a beer and have fun and party. And we would, there was no problem whatsoever. And it's getting more difficult now. And I never used to have a headache. I never had a hangover in my life. The last year and a half, I've all of a sudden got a headache. And I had a big health checkup. And the only problem I had is I am electro hypersensitive, EHS. I can't take all the radiations from the Wi-Fi and the mobile phones and so on. So with 5G, it's going to get worse. But I mean, this is something that affects everybody's health. It's really, really bad. And and there are a court case that was from 2017 and was reaffirmed in January that mobile radiation is carcinogenic down in Italy. So this is something that we should be very, very wary of. And there are a lot of countries that prohibits 5G in schools. So why don't we roll it out in schools during a health epidemic? So they want us to believe that they care about our health. And yet they're putting up 5G in schools. It's just, I mean, they have so much false empathy. It's unreal, you know?
It's very, what's very important is to go back to what you said about the censorship, because for anybody, again, you know, who's on the fence about these things, and maybe it's good to be on the fence, maybe it's good to not jump in. If you're a listener and you hear this and you're like, right, okay, I'll listen to Mads and I'll have a look later on and make my own mind up, that's good. It's a good way to be. But listeners have got to be, you know, moved or shocked by the speed with which the broadcast media regulator Ofcom went after. Not only did it go after London Live, which is a TV channel, which took a bit of the video of David Icke from London Real and then broadcast that. Then you had Eamon Holmes, who's a very well-known broadcaster in the UK, ITV most of the time. Holmes said that people shouldn't be so quick to dismiss something unless they learn more about it. What he said was basic human knowledge, basically. Don't jump to a conclusion until you know a bit more. He was hammered for it. I mean, it's obvious that somebody, whether it's in Danish national media, Irish national media, or English national media, somebody is saying there will be no discussion of 5G. There will be no talk about it. And you're right to make that point. It needs to be communicated to people. Ask yourself why they won't talk about it. You know?
Yeah, because also, I mean, we know that this radiation is not only carcinogenic, it is also changing the DNA, and that is forever for all your children and grandchildren, and it's also destroying fertility. So studies here in Denmark and in Finland shows that 75% of males now have either no or very low sperm counts. So it's really, really bad already, and it's only going to get worse with the 5G.
There was a guy on BBC Radio 2 a couple of weeks back, and he was speaking to Jeremy Vine, and he works at a clinic that helps people who are struggling to get pregnant, fertility clinic.
Yeah.
And I wish I grabbed the clip, and I can't find it now, but the guy said that year on year, clinics that deal with fertility are inundated with people coming, young men and women coming, and they generally find that the problem isn't with the young lady, the problem is with the guy's sperm count. I mean, Jesus, I mean, why? You know, and of course it's the BBC, so the presenter doesn't say, why? Why is it happening year on year? No, we don't ask those questions. Mads Palsvig is our guest. Tell us about Denmark then. So is 5G technology operational in Denmark at the moment, Mads, or is it in certain places? How is it working?
Well, certainly there are several test cities, but I believe it's 4th of April they officially started. Certainly that's what the Danish TDC, biggest telephone company, have said. So whether they have actually switched it on everywhere, I don't think they have. And I don't think they're going to put it on to the max yet, because that would be stupid of them if a lot of people get damaged very, very soon. But I think it's something to worry about. And also the fact that if they roll out 5G in every single country at the same time, this has never been done before. And why would you put out something that has nobody has ever woken up in the morning saying, today I'm going to demand for my politician to have 5G. Today I'm going to make a demonstration pro 5G. Nobody has ever done that, right? And yet they do that in every single country at the same time. It's the first thing ever they've ever decided on to do simultaneously. That should make everybody scared. Whether you are pro 5G and want to download your movie faster or not, people should worry about that.
This is very important, because the protests have become pretty, they've become unmissable, really. I mean, people know that the protests are happening in Copenhagen, they're happening here in the UK, but the UK media has pretty much ignored them. Again, this is unprecedented, that they wouldn't at least, I know that I know that John managed to get on the BBC for a few minutes one morning, but they hardly gave him any time at all. And they were pretty dismissive, and they got him off. Largely, they're ignoring the protest, which of course is very interesting. The reason I asked about it being switched on in Denmark and switched on here is because the BBC used this stick to beat up those of us that are worried about 5G, and I'm very worried about 5G myself. They said that the crazy conspiracy theorists have blamed 5G on coronavirus, even though in most of the country there isn't any 5G. It's not there yet. Do you sometimes get a bit worried or a bit annoyed that some independent media people, even if they mean well, that they jump in a bit too quick and they start making connections without being a bit more, I don't know, a bit more circumspect? What do you think, Mads?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, that we can sometimes do that. But if they have been in the...
I don't mean you, by the way. I think you do a bloody brilliant job. And I don't mean anybody necessarily connected to you. But I mean just across the world. I think people do get very excited. They know this is not good for people. They know this. And they're right to know this. Bloody hell, we know it's not good. And they want to prove it, don't they? So they see people, they see coronavirus, and they think, right, this must be it. And I'm not saying it isn't, or that it isn't playing some part. I am not saying that at all. But sometimes some people jump the gun. And I think they, without realising it, they undo the good work of others. And that's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, that could be a valid point. I just think that sometimes what happens to me, I guess you've had the same experience, is whenever you learn about a new conspiracy against humanity and you think, okay, this is it. Now there cannot be any more crimes now. And then you look into a different subject, and there it is. Whatever stone you look under, there's another dead body, as we say in Danish. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, you look into to the false flags in the military, every single war, and you can't believe it, right? You look into vaccines, you look into big pharma, and it's a crime upon crime. I mean, the amount of billions of dollars, the largest big pharmaceutical corporations have paid in damages for fraud and mismanagement of scientific studies. It's flabbergasting. Yet they are trying to get legislation through so that they cannot be sued for any damages done due to their medicine.
And they know, Matt,
it's a mafia.
They know that Bill Gates' company destroyed 500,000 lives in India. They know this. It's not a conspiracy theory. And yet they allow him go on television advocating that everybody takes a vaccine. Everybody on the planet. And then we can leave lockdown. And they know that the bastard, excuse my language, was involved in trials, not only in India, but elsewhere, that destroyed people. And yet they can't do their job and say, hang on a second, you don't have any right to come on here demanding that I take a vaccine. Your track record is not very good. It's happening in front of people's eyes. That brings me to another subject. Are you worried? There are a couple of anti-racist organisations in this country, and they want to basically delete conspiracy theorists. And this is really sinister. They don't want YouTube to ban them. They don't want, Patreon to ban them, and they don't want Facebook to ban them. They want them to be deleted from the internet. In other words, they don't want them to be able to stream. They don't want them to be hosted by anybody else. And the reason they're giving now is because they say that they can finally prove that conspiracy theorists are dangerous. They will say, see, Mads Palsvig, they will say, Mads is dangerous. He sounds like a really smart man. He's an educated man, but he's dangerous. He is giving people bad ideas about 5G, and we need 5G because it's going to be good for everybody. Mads is crazy. We've got to get rid of him. Now, this is happening in this country as I speak. Are you worried about that? Do you get any sense that in Scandinavia, in Denmark, that there are movements like that to try and get rid of guys like you once and for all?
Well, I think there are certainly people who agree with that statement for sure. We can see that now in the street where so many Danish people are supporting these fascist legislation that our one-party state just rolled out here in Denmark, totally destroying our constitution and all the rights of freedom, personal freedom we have here in Denmark. And they like it. A lot of Danish people, they really like it. And so that's not far from that to the Gulag and the FEMA camps and the concentration camps from that, because that's what happened in Russia. They said they're crazy. They go to an insane asylum, or if you are complaining about the authorities, they went to a Gulag. This could happen in England and Denmark as well. Of course it could. If we do not stand up now. And a lot of people who will do that, then we are totally screwed, definitely.
And yet you're having success there with the 5G message, which is a remarkable thing. For people listening to you today who want to take to the streets, if they're allowed, you know, well, they shouldn't need to wait to be allowed, even when the lockdown comes to an end or is loosened somewhat. Give people some hope. You've had great success in gathering people together to talk about this. How does somebody go about it? You know, they want to be heard about their concerns about 5G. They want to be listened to. How did you manage it, Maz? I know you've a great track record public speaking. You know, you've done your homework. But for people new to this who want to bloody make a difference, give them some hope. What should they do?
Well, what we try to do is we try to do everything. I mean, we do the demonstrations where we get people involved. We try to be part of the legislation by having a political party that's against it. And then we are also suing the government for the rollout of the 5G. And then lastly, which I think is a very important part, and this is why I hope a lot of people could be more active, is writing notice of liability letters to people in power, basically writing to everybody in the CEOs in the telecom industry, but also in the medical, in the pharmaceutical industry, and the politicians, and all the people who are responsible for this corona pandemic. We will hold you personally responsible for everybody who dies of 5G or Big Pharma or if they make forcible vaccinations. Of all damages done, and we write notice of liability to these people legally. And that is not something that is very, very nice, because a lot of these people think that they are on the winning team, and they're just, if they just obey orders, they will enjoy a happy pension life as a pensioner and receive a lot of money, and everything is good for them and they don't have any worries. But when we write to them this notice of liability, and quite often I even publish it in my newsletter, then they know that we are a lot of people, that as soon as we have a chance, as soon as we are enough people, their name is on a list of people for the next Nuremberg trials.
That's interesting, isn't it? I like that concept. I've come across that concept around vaccines, you know, telling doctors, you know, your local physicians, your local medical centres, letting them know, you know, if you're standing over this vaccine, if you're giving my child this vaccine and you're telling me it's healthy, well, I'm holding you responsible in the future. I mean, I don't tell people what to do, and I don't want to start here today, but any child of mine would not be vaccinated, full stop. There wouldn't be any vaccines whatsoever. Few questions coming in, Mads, different subjects. What about the vaccination aspect of the coronavirus so-called pandemic or plandemic? Do you believe that as time progresses, it's going to be very difficult for people to refuse a vaccination? This comes up now quite a bit on this radio show, and it has come up quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. People are worried that Gates has obviously pretty much control of the World Health Organization, which controls governments, and they want everybody to be vaccinated. Are you worried that in the very near future, you and your lovely other half might not be able to do certain things unless you can prove that you're not a threat to other people? What do you think?
Well, that is certainly the plan from these evil people who currently have too much power in the world. And if we are not enough people speaking out, that is for sure what is going to happen. What I want to say is this vaccine, the vaccines for the flu, doesn't never work anyway.
Never.
So why would we believe that they would all of a sudden be successful with the corona? We've had the flu every year for 30 years, and they've come up with vaccinations every year. And apart from giving old people Alzheimer's and cancer, they do not help at all. You get the flu anyway, even if you have the flu shot. Oh yeah, because it mutated, it changed a little bit. And now they want us to believe that they can create a vaccine for the corona in 3 months. It's all a lot of BS. The viruses that they created in Africa and in India are maiming people, killing people. And you know, so why would we believe it? It's all a scam. It's all about power. It's all about forcing people to obey a fascist government. We have a one-party government in Denmark now. They all vote unanimously for every single law in Denmark for the last at least 10 years. It's unbelievable.
No dissent. And you mentioned a few minutes ago, I heard you loud and clear about the public. I mean, I'm the public. You're the public. We are the, you know, we're just as ordinary as anybody else. I'm a working class bloke, a working class guy. And there was an announcement today that Germany was foolish to relax the lockdown measures because seemingly corona-related deaths have gone up. And immediately on social media, you find people, and many of these are genuine people, they're calling for the lockdown here to be extended. And that makes me depressed, Mads. Because I get a great positive vibe from you. It's nice having you on because you're positive and you're doing things and you're actually taking it on. And I like that. And then I look at you and then I look to the left or to the right and I see these people who just swallow it and say, yes, lock us down, giving no thought whatsoever to what their life is going to be like financially in 6 or 8 months' time. On that, another question I was asked to put to you with your financial expertise hat on you. Do you believe that sometime next year or the year after, our governments will say, we are so broke from paying back the banks because of the coronavirus that we need to have a bail-in, a capital levy, that they will start taking equity from people's houses and they will do evaluations of people. So they look at Richie Allen, for example, me, and they will say, right, we think this is your net worth, Richie. This is how much money we want you to pay us in a lump sum. Mr. Palsvig, we think you are worth X amount of money. You need to pay us this now. We've all got to do our bit to pay back the coronavirus. And they will take it against our will. Am I being paranoid, or is that a possibility?
Well, they have done it in Cyprus and in several other places already, and they put the legislation in place in Europe, if I remember correctly, so they legally can get away with doing it. So it's a distinct possibility. But I just think, again, we're back to the same thing with the money creation. We need to make sure that we tell the politicians, naughty, naughty, we know what you're doing. We know how the money creation is. Don't come in with any of your bail-in chats or any of your, we need to hike taxes and cut welfare, because this is not how it works. As long as we don't have full employment, as long as we have resources, you can print money and it will not create any inflation whatsoever. If you print money, then when the M, so the monetary base, goes up, then the G, the gross, all the inflation will go up. And as long as you have available resources in human capital, in workers, in resources, and so on, then the G will go up. The that is the gross in the society. We know that, so we need to be very, very good and go out and talk to the politicians and make sure they know that we will call them out, we call their bluff out, and they're not allowed to do it. But we could do a bail-in on the people who have made a lot of money on the crash, on the people who made a lot of money on the wars. I mean, a lot of people say that we are a Roman, times anyway. It's like the Roman Empire, the third or fourth of Roman Empire, and what they did sometimes in the Roman Empire, they would go out to some of the richest families and say, now we need a wall, or we need a road, or we need a bridge. And they would take the money from some of the richest families. Why don't we do that?
Not do it from the poorest people.
Yeah, you know, make a bail-in on everybody who has more
now
than
your friend,
10 billion. You can take half their money.
By the way, your friend Jeff Berwick, he would have a heart attack listening to that, of course. He wouldn't agree with any. I've had these arguments with Jeff Berwick on this program before. I must get Jeff back on the show, in fact. It's an interesting theory, and you're right to point out that's exactly what they did back in those times. I got to ask you this. It's a question out of left field. We've only got about 3 or 4 minutes left. By the way, Mads is on Twitter. It's at Palsvig on Twitter, and Mats Palsvig is on Facebook. Mads Palsvig is on Facebook. I do recommend strongly that you follow him there and follow the 5G work that Mads and his colleagues are doing there. Let me ask you this. Do you sometimes think that the aspects of what we're witnessing are so evil sometimes that there's got to be something else going on? That the very human people, they are human beings, that are causing this much death and destruction and misery, and they know they're doing it, that they're not God-fearing people, that there's something else going on, that they're darker people, that they worship a darker entity. Did it ever occur to you? I know you're a pragmatist, Mads, I know that, but at the same time, you have to wonder, right?
Yeah, no, I also studied a lot of all these about the secret fraternities and the Freemasons and all these things. And yes, of course, there's enough evidence, in my view, to suggest that the most wealthy and powerful families in the world are Satanists. They belong to secret lodges, and this could be one of the reasons why they are so evil. Another reason why they're so evil is maybe if they are psychopath, they might be paranoid, and if they and maybe they are afraid that we find out all these illegal wars they have started, all the misery they have created, all the money they have stolen. So I'm not talking about making a bail-in of a multi-billionaire or trillionaire who has earned his money legally or by creating wealth in the society, but I'm talking about, you could look into some of the people who have made, like Trump said, the bombing Syria and bombing the Middle East cost the American taxpayer $7,000, $7 trillion. So someone has made that money. So the ordinary citizen in the United States, they pay taxes to these big corporations that make these $7,000 billion. You could tax that, so you could take some of that money back. I don't have a problem with that, and I can't see why Jeff Berwick, whom I know, why he would have problem with taxing someone who has made money on crimes against humanity. I think Jeff Berwick would be supportive of that idea.
We've had great discussions, Jeff and I, about wealth creation and about deregulation. Jeff would say that, you know, it's always corporations and wealth creators, they always get blamed, you know, when things go bad in the economy. But really, deregulation is the answer. And of course, I disagree with that. I'm a socialist. I don't believe in deregulating corporations always ends very badly for, you know, ordinary men and women, ordinary men like you and me. But yeah, I'm going to get Jeff on again in the very near future. Mads, for our listeners, it's Mads Palsvig, by the way. There are some people listening. They've tweeted us tonight, some people who've heard you for the first time. You've got a very big following. But we have people who've heard you for the first time. They're very interested in you and they want to hear more about you. Am I right to send them to Facebook and to Twitter? Where else should we send people, Mads?
I also have a YouTube channel, and from now on, I make all my videos first in Danish, and then I make it in English. So I do make all my videos from now on also in English.
And it's Mads Palsvik on YouTube. I've seen the videos, so they just need to look for Mads Palsvik on YouTube. Yeah. They'll find you immediately. Are we going to... Final question. Thanks for your time today, Mads. Thanks for your patience as well with my timekeeping problems.
No worries.
No, I do it regularly, Mads, because it's just me. I do it to people in America all the time. I mess the time up. I just put it down to my eccentricity. But really, really, I'm not eccentric at all. I'm just an idiot. I make mistakes. So thanks for doing that. Give me some hope. 60 seconds before we part company for today, and I hope you'll be back on again real soon. Give me some hope. Are we ever going to get out of this? Are we ever going to take back...
I'll give you some hope.
Go on. I mean,
the Danish equity market is only down 6% since the 1st of January. So the market is expecting the lockdown to close down soon and the economy to take off afterwards. So the market is saying we have a chance of explaining to all the people in the world now that we know that 2008 was money creation for the corporations, and now we will have money creation for the people, and it should always, from now on, only be for the people.
Mads, it's great to talk to you. Really is, mate. It's a tonic. Thanks so much for coming back today. Godspeed to you and your colleagues in Copenhagen and elsewhere in your, I think, righteous and justified crusade quest to raise the alarm about 5G, which I believe, as you do, that will have catastrophic consequences for human health. I really do believe you're on a just crusade there, my friend. Thanks, Mads. Speak again soon.
Thank you, Richie. Thanks a lot.
Bye for now. The lovely and very clever Mads Palsvik, live from Copenhagen on Wednesday's Richie Allen radio show. The thing that annoys me, really, is more than anything this week, and you'll say, oh, you're very naive, Richie. I'm not naive. Look, I've been around. I've been making this programme or programmes like it now for over 10 years. Look, you've got a government that's so corrupt, that's so filthy, that's so sick, that it's telling small businesses and medium-sized businesses, we'll get you some money from the banks to tide you over. Knowing that, first of all, you, the government, you're responsible for the problems that the businesses now face. And now you're going to saddle them with another debt on top of the money that they're losing during the lockdown. But you know what's even more... not so much mendacious, because that, of course, means being untruthful and dishonest. You know what's more sickening about that? Is they are clamouring in British politics for the government to act as guarantor for those loans. It is fucking sick. Basically, if you don't understand that pretty basic concept, the government is going to say to the banks, don't worry, if some of the small businesses or if all of them can't pay you back, we'll go as guarantor. Now, for every uneducated, perplexed citizen in the UK, they might think on the face of it, that's a nice thing that the government is guaranteeing for the small businesses, is standing as their guarantor to help them get the loans. You're totally mistaken. It is fucking evil on a scale that's unimaginable. Think about what happens when those loans can't be paid back and the government is liable. Think about who pays for it then. Ah, you're starting to see the light now, are you? Yeah, it's you and me and our families and our friends. It's fucking sick, is what it is. Thanks to Dr. Andrew Kaufman for coming on the radio programme and giving us his time, and thanks to Mads Palsvik as well. Bye now. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to have a can of cold Guinness. There's only one in the fridge, but I'm fucking having it. See you tomorrow. Bye now. The leaves are falling all around.